more.
Welcome to this Happy Home Podcast. I'm Arlene Pellicane. Do you ever feel outnumbered or overwhelmed as a mom? It might feel like you're stuck in a meaningless loop, but today's guest, September McCarthy, is here to remind you of an important truth. Motherhood matters. It's time to rediscover your purpose as a mom.
Strengthening you and your family. Welcome to the Happy Home Podcast with your host, Arlene Pellicane.
Well, friends, have you felt overwhelmed by motherhood lately? You probably don't have to think too far back. Maybe today you've already felt a bit overwhelmed. Whether you have a toddler or a teenager, two kids or 10, today's guest has something good to speak into your life, to breathe life into your motherhood. I'm talking about today's guest, September McCarthy. She is a wife, homeschooling mom of 10. She's got six adult kids and four kids still at home. She's an author, speaker. She co-hosts the Mom to Mom podcast, and she has founded the September & Company Etsy shop. She and her husband, Dan, have been married more than 30 years. And in addition to their kids, they have seven grandchildren. Need I say more? She has done so much. Her family is her number one priority, and her heart is always at home. And her newest book is Why Motherhood Matters, an invitation to purposeful parenting. Let's get started. You're going to love this. Well, one of the things that you write about in your book is why you need to throw mom guilt out the window. And I would love just to ask you about this, because I know sometimes people, we listen to our podcast, we read a book, we look at someone's recipe and we're like, oh, I'm such a bad mom. Like, I don't do that. How do we deal with those feelings of guilt in a healthy way?
Well, I feel like a lot of times we forget where mom guilt comes from. And for me, you know, personally, and I wrote about this in my book, mom guilt came from some real core areas. And those were maybe comparison expectations that we have of ourselves that maybe we put there and they're not real. Maybe lies that we've believed about our motherhood that aren't true. And then maybe some perfectionist tendencies. So I think for me, I had to kind of first remember that I am my mom. I am my child's best mom. So, you know, someone else could not mother my kids the way that I do. So to take the comparison, you know, thing right off the table. Yep. And to deal to not, you know, look around and think, well, they're doing that this way. Like our children, we know them the best. And I think a lot of times the expectations we have of ourselves come from some idealistic book, like you said, or a website or something we've seen maybe on social media today. And I think sometimes we have to kind of remember that the best thing we can give our kids some days when we wake up is just to love them very well. You know, that is the most supreme thing. So for me to deal with mom guilt, I had to remember that there's no shame in rest. So when I'm running and I'm trying to strive and I'm trying to accomplish the most perfect idealistic childhood for my kids, that sometimes rest is, you know, the best answer, and to give them what I know that they need. When we can kind of take those four areas off the plate, which is easier said than done, I think that we are face to face with our own motherhood. And then if we're dealing with guilt, I think sometimes we have to ask ourselves, like, is this mom guilt or is this conviction? And sometimes it falls into a conviction category. Like, okay, yeah, I know this is something I need to work on and I'm going to do my best. And then sometimes it's the category of comparison or expectations or perfections or lies that we believe that we need to attain or things that our kids need. So I always like to start there because we have to differentiate, you know, where we are in those places.
I like that a lot because there is that healthy something inside of us that says, you know what? We should probably introduce a vegetable into this home, you know,
or, you know what?
We should probably pray in the day at some point. You know, those are good convictions that come to us that we need to just be like, oh, I don't want to be guilty about that. But to say, you know what? I can make a change in that area. And there's so much grace in that. Take us kind of to your home and the rhythm of your life and what advice can you give to the mom who feels overwhelmed?
Well, I think that our thoughts, you know, they dictate our responses. So the things that we're thinking and that we're feeling, sometimes we have to remember to wave, you know, that white flag. I say that a lot to my friends. I'm like, you know, is that the white flag? Do you need some help? Do you want to talk about this? And in my home, you know, as I raised our kids, we had 10 kids and I still have little ones at home. I had to learn to kind of recognize some pushing points, some things that would bring me to that overwhelming response. And I think some of those pushing points for me, and they may be the same for whoever's listening today, and they may be different, but we have to identify what those pushing points are. I think sometimes we ignore what's going on inside, what's going on in our homes, to the point where all of a sudden we're overwhelmed. The more we recognize, the more we're able to speak truth into those situations. So for me, it was when I began to raise my voice or maybe lose control of my emotions in response to situations, or maybe responsibilities are piling up and things are getting out of control. Maybe I've stopped taking care of myself or doing things that are important to my health, mentally, emotionally, physically. A key pushing point is to maybe think, are my kids bringing me joy? And am I complaining or sighing when I have to spend time with them or when they need something from me? That's a huge trigger point to realize, okay, I must be feeling overwhelmed because God's given me these kids to enjoy and I'm not right now. So what is going on in me or in them? Maybe you're feeling inadequate or lonely or desperate for some help, but you're not quite sure what to do about that. I always like to begin with reminding myself of this truth. You know, God created me to be a mom. Here I am. I have these kids, obviously, and He's equipped me. He's equipped me with a lot of things. I have to remind myself that I have to ask for help, and the big picture can't be lost in the everyday moments. Another thing that I like to remember is that a new habit every week leads to big change. And sometimes we just have to take everything and break it down into small pieces. You know, maybe we're having trouble with our kids and they have an anger issue, or we have an anger issue and we want to get on top of that. So we're feeling overwhelmed in that. We think it's never going to change, or we never have time to exercise, or we never have time to get into the word, or maybe those things are just those things that are making that pile seem so insurmountable and we're just feeling overwhelmed. I like to break those down into small pieces and think, okay, what is one thing I'm going to do this week about it? And then I break that into even smaller pieces, trying to tackle. It's like tackling all of your laundry for the year at once. Like, we don't do that. So I just try to remind myself as a mom, and encourage any other moms listening, that, you know, it's possible to take this big overwhelming feeling of motherhood every day and break it into small pieces. And I think a lot of times that we're feeling overwhelmed, it's because of the expectations thing. We've piled on too much. We've kept too much inside, and it's really manageable. We just have to step back a little bit and think, what can I take off my plate right now?
I think that is so wise. That is so good. You know, part of that is when you have everyone, you know, is at home and you've got the sibling rivalry going and you've got whining and complaining and such. And then you just feel like, white flag, I surrender, you know, and it's only 8:30 in the morning.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about how you have managed sibling rivalry, because you have lots of sets to practice with and lots of different, you know, combinations of people. What are some of your best practices with handling sibling rivalry?
Well, we've had a lot of that over the years. I've been a mom for 28 years, so I can truly attest that we do not have the perfect home. You know, one of the things I tell my kids, and I've always told them this, is that if you cannot learn to love the people in your home well, then when you leave this home, you will not be able to do that. So, it, you know, relationships and learning how to love others, even through conflict and differences, begins in the home.
That's so good because it's the foundation. It's like, hey, if you want to do this well on the outside, you've got to learn how to do this well on the inside. I really like that.
Yes. Well, we see a lot of conflict in the world, you know, even on social media and in the workplaces and with women's relationships, even in and out of the church. And I think, you know, I wonder if working through things in relationships and in conflict in the homes was focused on more, if we would have a better outcome when we're all kind of, you know, becoming adults. So if we're in our home, we try to follow some rules of biblical communication when it comes down to rivalry and differences and learning to see one another the way that God sees us. And that's really where I begin. You know, I want my kids to have eyes to see the people around our dinner table or the people that are in their space or driving them crazy as the way God sees them. And so we begin there, you know, that's basic. But then when they have a conflict, I always encourage them to keep current. So, you know, that means if you have a conflict, don't let it stew. Don't let it go. If it's really bothering you, address it. But when you address it, you know, I encourage them to attack the problem and not the person. So, you know, let's say my daughters took something out of each other's closets and they're really annoyed by it. And so they want to talk to them about it. So instead of saying, "You're so selfish, you're so greedy, why do you always take my clothes?" I encourage them to attack the problem. So, you know, you came in and took my clothes. I want to know next time, could you please ask me first? You know, attack the problem itself instead of attacking someone's character or personality or who they are as a person. That's one of the things we've done in our home. And you can do that really early with kids, you know, to keep current, to attack the problem, not the person. I always encourage our kids to be honest with one another. We have a lot of family meetings. So that's another area. If no one has tried that, it's a really strong point, you know, to kind of mediate through some of the conflicts instead of just letting them bicker it out, not raising our voices. And so we begin there, and those forms of communication have helped with the sibling rivalry. It still exists, but usually it comes back to a few things. And I think that's either selfishness, not showing deference to someone else, like not allowing them to speak, not being willing to listen. So for our kids in our home, it always goes back to a root of character. You know, I've created these character cards and we use them frequently. But honestly, I am a mediator. Like, as moms, I think we don't want to have to get in the middle. We want to let them work it out, but you have to kind of mediate a little bit to help them through this and model what good communication looks like. We handle some rivalry that way.
I really like that. I was taking notes in my mind of attack the problem, not the person, you know, because so much of it is, she's so mean. She always does this. She never does this. And it's like, it's not whatever the problem was in the first place. So I think that's so good to bring him back to that. You know, we are going through this year, this time of coronavirus, which is so different for so many families, of course. And I just wanted you to address the lonely mom, because I know that you've talked about this, you've written about this, help moms who feel lonely, because it can feel like an oxymoron, like, I'm in this house with these children, of course I'm not lonely. But when you get quiet, that mom says, man, I really, you know, miss my friends. And this could be have nothing to do with the coronavirus, just that you're not really attached to that many people, you're lonely. So just talk to how can that person reach out and find a balm, so to speak, for that loneliness.
You know, it's a real big part of motherhood, whether we're in a quarantine or not, because I think what happens in the generations is there's this disconnect because moms feel like other moms have it together. So therefore, we stop asking for help. And then other moms don't ask for help because they're afraid to reach out and let other people into their lives, to see the messy, to see the problems, to be really honest and open. So I encourage moms, you know, find a core group of women, like be very intentional to let people into your life, people you trust, people you have seen go before you, or, you know, are on the same path that you are, that will trust the space that you have, and reach out, be brave to reach out while we're being quarantined, you know, do some FaceTime calls, do an online Bible study, be intentional about sending a text message saying, I need some help. I'm really lonely. I'm not quite sure what to do. I'm having a bad day. I need some support. Do you have a verse? And then on the flip side, be that person that you want someone to be for you. I wrote a whole chapter in my book on letting women into our lives. And I think especially in mentoring, like we have such an opportunity to be mentors and be mentored by other people. And I think the older generation perhaps feels like, well, the younger generation doesn't really want to hear what I have to say. Things are so different, so they don't say anything. And then I think the current generation thinks those who have gone before them think they're going to judge, you know, what they're doing or how different they're doing things. And so there's this major disconnect. And so I'm really passionate and I love to see the all of those things come, you know, come down, those scales come off, and for people to reach into one another's lives and to just mentor by being present. And so that right there would, I think, dispel all the loneliness if we just knew we had one person checking in on us or we checked in on someone else. So for myself, I had to be very intentional. I'm an introvert, you know, and introverts love their quiet, but they tend to be quiet and suffer silently. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I had to do that. I had to reach out to just a few women and to just say, I need you to be in my circle. I need you to support me and I'll do my best to do that for you. So, you know, maybe someone's listening right now and they're in that place and they're thinking, I don't know who to reach out to. Well, you know, you're listening to this podcast and it's perfect. Like, this is exactly what you're doing, what you need to do. You're hearing another voice than your own. And now it's time to pick up your phone, send a message, write a card to somebody else and say, I think I really need this in my life.
What you're saying is so key, because when we feel lonely, we wait. We're waiting like,
yes,
I hope someone reaches out to me. I wish someone would call me. I wish someone would check up on me, but we don't know. And it's like the other people don't know that you're feeling that way. So it takes that step of faith. It also takes that humility. It takes that effort to say, could somebody please help me? And so it's interesting. It's like once you act on that and you start moving forward, then people can start moving towards you. So it's taking that step.
Yeah, I encourage moms not to be afraid to do that. It's really like anything else. It's an exercise of a muscle that we're not used to using. You know, I have grown daughters who have little children and I can see them doing the motherhood thing independently. And I'm not quite sure it's registered yet that they may need some extra support because it's new and it's fun and it's engaging. But we really all do hit a place where we become lonely and we become tendency to pull back. So I like to be that person. And I hope someone listening is also doing this, that you are seeing those that you're spending time with or the mom at the park or at church or at the school, that kind of retreats, that's kind of quiet, that is afraid to speak up. You know, that is the person that, you can reach out to, like, go reach out to that person, even if they decline, you know, hey, let's have coffee or, hey, would you love to chat or something like that. You know, don't stop pursuing them and don't be annoying, but those are the people that we should have eyes for, the people that are lonely and trying to do this alone.
The last question I wanted to ask you is, what does it look like to parent out of fear? Because this year with the coronavirus, there's a lot of fear. And I think that we as parents need to have a stance like, wait a minute, I am not going to parent out of fear. So, but what does it look like to parent out of fear? And were you ever in that stage?
Right. I parented a lot out of fear. There was a particular stage that I did that. And I think what it looks like is it looks like control, whether it's the virus or something else. So we try to control what's happening. We try to control the outcome. And that can look like our kids' education. It can look like our kids' friendships. It can look like what our kids eat. You know, we do have some semblance of responsibility in all those areas. And we should be interacting and having some interaction. But when it comes down to controlling things, that's a huge red flag that we're living in parenting in fear. So, you know, I think it's good for us to evaluate that regularly and say, I'm not going to allow fear to dictate my child's future. So everything that we try to own for our children, and I try to remind myself of this, even as I have adult children, we're often taking out the peace that God has in their lives.
Yeah.
Like God is doing a work. He's in control. He's watching out for them. And when we try to own every little piece, I feel like we're kind of saying, okay, God, I've got this, you know, thanks for,
we don't need your almighty support and power. Yeah. I can do this.
Yeah. I found myself doing that often through the years. And I've learned to step back to, and these are some things I've had to do practically. I've had to step back. Like when I feel strongly about something, I have to really literally keep my mouth closed, not send a text, not say something until I've filtered it through a few things. One, why am I thinking this? Is it fear or is it because I have a conviction? When our kids see us parent out of fear and they know exactly because they can feel the control, I think they wonder, like, do you really believe God's in control? And we don't want our kids to see a faith that's just convenient. So it's been a challenging thing for me in my life as a mom. And I know other moms struggle with this. So I just would like to encourage moms listening. And I know that you have kids, and we just want the best for our kids. So it's easy to let that creep in.
And let there not be fear, but the power, love, and a sound mind. And let that frame our parenting. God's power, God's love, a sound mind that's given from Him, and not fear. Well, I hope today has been a good reminder for all of us to give God control of our lives and our homes. You know, thinking back to our conversation today, so many good truths. Here's a couple things that stood out to me. Know the difference between mom guilt and conviction. Sometimes you have to wave the white flag of surrender and have a timeout or ask for help. If you're lonely, be that first person to reach out and say, hey, I need something. Watch for those pushing points that let you know you're overwhelmed and that you need a break. I love one thing September said, a new habit every week leads to big change. And then, of course, that part about sibling rivalry, attack the problem, not the person. Well, September is such a kind person, and she has a wealth of knowledge and wisdom with her experience, with her 10 kids, 7 grandkids, homeschooling, having a happy marriage, etc. So you can learn more at septembermccarthy.com. Her book, again, is Why Motherhood Matters. And, you know, since meeting September on this podcast, I have visited her Etsy shop, September & Company, and it is darling. And I picked up some character cards or note cards with all different character traits that you want to teach your children. Super cool. So I want to tell you about that as well. But, you know, before we go, I want to let you know I have a free resource, because I know some of you listening, maybe if you're hearing this and we're still under a stay at home because of the coronavirus, you need that encouragement. And I have a book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom, because maybe some days you are not feeling so chipper. And I've been doing a daily video lesson, very short, hopefully to lift you up, give you something practical, usually something funny in there. So you can go to Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, my website, and you will find day 1 through 31 of 31 Days to Become a Happy Mom. You can watch those videos whenever you need that punch. And on Facebook, it's Arlene Pelicane Author. On Instagram, etc., it is Arlene Pelicane. So I look forward to connecting with you there, and also at my website, arlenepelicane.com. And if you feel like, oh, you know what, one of the things that's making me very unhappy right now is screen time, you can go to my website. I have a lot of resources to help you with your kids' screen time, including a quiz, is my child getting too much screen time? All of that is at arlenepelicane.com. Well, my friends, if you have enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to write a quick review. That just helps people find us a little bit faster. And let's enjoy less tech and more life. And until next time, remember, you too can have a happy home.